If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to Mark chapter 4 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 1. Mark 4 and verse 1. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word might have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Our needs are as unique as we are. We've come to hear from you today. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verses 33 and 34 of Mark chapter 4, Mark says that Jesus was teaching with many parables, or by parables, with many parables. He was speaking the word to them. And Mark adds, so far as they were able to hear it. Now, we'll have more to say about that, but that's important to understand. Jesus wanted his disciples and others who were following him to learn, to hear the truth, to begin to absorb it. But he knew that it was not going to happen automatically. And he knew that it was going to take their cooperation. And it was going to take a layer of faith. And that's important, as we will see in the end. Why was Jesus teaching by parable? Mark also says that he was explaining everything privately. So there's something about these parables that gets truth out there, but you need a little help to understand it. And in the process, Jesus is wanting especially his disciples to gain insight into the kingdom of God. Very important. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Well, we're going to see it illustrated here. But remember, in Mark 1, after Jesus was baptized, after John the Baptist was imprisoned, Jesus began his public ministry. And what was the first message? What was the first thing he said? The kingdom of God is at hand. And I suggested to you the reason the kingdom of God is at hand is the king is here. And that's true, but there's so much more Jesus wants his disciples to learn about the kingdom of God. And so he's going to illustrate it for them. The first illustration, the parable of the soils. And this would have been a picture that would have just resonated very easily, even with these fishermen. Whether you're planting a garden or planting a field, one of the ways would be to simply broadcast the seed. In doing so, though, not all of the seed goes exactly where you want it to go. And Jesus says, you know, we can learn something from that. Some of it just with the wind and all, some of it just gets thrown so far that all it is birdseed. And you know, I think there were probably some farmers that were okay with that. But that's what happened. And then there was other seed that fell on rocky ground. Oh, there's a little bit of soil there, but not a lot. And that's not going to go anywhere. And then along the edge of the field, there would have been bushes, thorns, some seed fell there. And again, it could get started, but it can't go anywhere because it can't overcome all those thorns and other things there. Ah, but some of the seed went on that perfectly prepared ground and produced. And I'd like to suggest to you that's the key to understanding this parable. And what Jesus wants his disciples to know about the kingdom of God. A lot will be said and a lot will be done. But the question is, who's producing? Is there evidence that you are in the kingdom? Now, fortunately for us, the disciples didn't get it. But that's okay, because Jesus is teaching in parables, knowing that he's going to have to go back and explain it to them. What does all of this mean? The explanation here is in verses 13 through 20. He says, the sower sows the word. What is the word? Well, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then as the kingdom of God is at hand and Jesus is here and he teaches, that knowledge will just increase. So we understand the word of God and who Jesus is. So the seed, the sower sows the word, shares the gospel, the good news. Sometimes you share it, and it goes in one ear and out the other. Sometimes it's in a group. Evangelists would run into this often. You bring in your unsaved friends, and they hear the gospel, and they're just not interested. Is it wasted? Well, we don't know. Was it wasted on that person because they didn't? Not necessarily, but for some it is. Just like that seed that landed on the hard surface and it was bird seed. It wasn't going to go anywhere. It wasn't going to do what it was designed to do. And then there's other seed that ends up in like the rocky ground and there's just enough there to germinate. But that's all. He says in verse 17, the response is just temporary. When affliction or persecution arises, immediately they fall away. Did they lose their salvation? No, they never had it. That hasn't come yet. They've heard the truth, and they start to act on it. But when there's pushback, when there's challenge, like would have happened almost immediately in a Jewish home. They drop away. No, not going to go there, not going to do that. And then there's seed that falls among the thorns, and it too germinates. But, verse 19, the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things, picture of the thorns all around it, you know, all the shiny things, all the other stuff that's out there that gets our attention. He says that chokes it out. And here's the word again, it becomes unfruitful. But then there's the seed that's sown on the good soil. See, that's the goal here. It germinates and it grows and it bears fruit. The seed on the hard patch that becomes bird seed, it's not going to produce anything. The seed that's among the rocks, it germinates. It looks like it might become something, but it doesn't. There's no root, and it's gone. The seed among the thorns, it too germinates. It looks good to begin with, but it's not going to go anywhere either. The key to all three is it's unfruitful. It doesn't do what it was designed to do, and that is to not only just germinate or look like something's coming, but to actually bring something, actually produce something. Whereas the seed that falls on the good ground, it germinates, it grows, it produces. Remember, what are we talking about here? The kingdom of God. So disciples, Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is here. I'm here. You're seeing it. And there are going to be those who are going to hear about it. But only those of you who receive it, allow it to take root, grow, and be fruitful, will be in the kingdom of God. The parable of the soils. The parable of the seeds. Verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God, here it is again, the kingdom of God is like a man who cast seed on the soil. Here's this broadcast seeding again. But notice this time, He plants the seed. He goes to bed, verse 27. He goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How, he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first blade, then head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. What's the key to that? Well, that statement that he doesn't know how. Even we may be so sophisticated that we think we understand this whole process of germination and the genetics and all that goes into seed and how it, but at the end of the day, when the truth, we don't know how that works. It just works. And we're glad it works. And Jesus says, you know, there's a part of the kingdom of God that's like that. And sometimes that frustrates people to no end. But not understanding everything about God and how He works should not surprise us. If we could understand Him completely, if we knew everything He did, we would be God. Remember, that was the lie that Satan told Eve. God just doesn't want you to know everything He knows. That was a lie. You can't know everything He knows. And there's nothing you can do that could create that situation. The Creator God If you're here this morning in Christ, our Heavenly Father is sovereign. And He's constantly working and doing all kinds of things around us. We see the results. We even know when it's time to harvest. We may not know how all of that works, but there it is. God is working. We've said this many times. If at any point you can look at something and all you can think about is what this guy did or what that gal did to make that happen, you can be pretty sure God wasn't in it. But if, on the other hand, you see something and you just look back and think, how did that happen? God was working. That's what the kingdom of God is like. We'll see things happening that only He could bring about, that only He could develop. And then finally, there's the mustard seed, verse 30. He said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? There it is again. Or by what parable shall we present it? It's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. Okay, another picture of the kingdom of God. What it's like when we see God in control, whether it's individually of our lives or corporately as a body of believers. It's kind of like the mustard seed. Now, he says in verse 31, it's the smallest seed. It would have been the smallest seed that anybody he was talking to would have ever seen or known. Now, we can get so sophisticated and say, well, you know, I've seen a lot of seeds smaller than a mustard seed. I'm guessing not many of us have seen a mustard seed. But you could reasonably expect that there are smaller seeds. But Jesus' group wouldn't have known anything about that. But very easy to say, you know, you've never seen anything smaller than a mustard seed, right, guys? Yeah, that's true. And yet, of all the seeds that you gather together to prepare your garden, this tiny little mustard seed produces this huge bush. You take a bean seed, many, many times bigger. What's it? Well, a little bush. What's the point? From little things that seem to be pretty insignificant, in the kingdom of God, God can use them to make something much greater. And the picture here is of this mustard bush. And it's big enough to even provide shelter for the birds. What does that tell us about the kingdom of God? Well, we're going to learn in the book of Acts, for instance, that 11 guys become 12 guys, who become 3,000 people, who become 5,000 people in a matter of days. And those 12 people, along with two or three others that we know of, take the word, the basis for the kingdom of God, literally throughout the known world. That's this big mustard bush. And it will be so big and so effective that even others who have nothing to do with it can find protection. God has done that over and over again. We have been a part of that in our country. for years and years. The Judeo-Christian ethic has been at the heart of this country. And that has protected many, many, many people who don't believe any of it. But it's protected them. Just like those birds that gather under the mustard seed branches. Because that's what the kingdom of God does. It has care and concern even beyond itself. And Jesus will teach that to his disciples, and his disciples will teach others about the need for the children of God, the people of God, to reach out for the needs of others. Will some become believers because we looked at their needs and reached out to them? Yes. Will most? No. But that's what the kingdom of God does. It is so inclusive and so valuable that it can even protect those who seem to have no part in it. Common grace, some refer to that as. The goodness of God. The psalmist said, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. The sun shines. The kingdom of God. The truth, the justice of it, benefits many, whether they're a part of it or not. Why parables? Well, we go back to verse 10. Again, we owe this to the disciples. Why? Why are you teaching in parables? And Jesus says in verse 11, because you alone get the explanations. Truth is going to go out. You won't understand it all. But that's my job. To explain to you what you need to know. And then he says something that just is so hard. He says in verse 12, otherwise they might return and be forgiven. Now this is Jesus. And he's saying, if I were to speak clearly, there are some people out there that would believe and I'd have to forgive them. Really? What Jesus says here in verse 12 is the very same sentiment, in some cases the very same words, is used by Isaiah, by Jeremiah, by Ezekiel, quoted by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and referred to in Romans 11 by the Apostle Paul. And it's using the illustration of Israel. Remember when God called Isaiah, and that's where this starts, when God called Isaiah, he said, I'm going to use you, and you're going to teach, and there are people who are going to hear, but they are not going to respond. And I will not forgive. And in the history of Israel and the prophets, this is what was understood. You've heard it so long. You've hardened your hearts so much. You will not understand it. It is never implied that a repentant heart, a confessing heart, will not be forgiven. No, no, no. We talked about that before with the Pharisees. Remember? Yeah, as a group, they dismissed Jesus, denied him. But we do know that eventually some came around. So this is not a blanket statement saying they can never be saved or never be forgiven. But if you persist in this attitude of being able to hear and will not understand, will not believe, that's that layer of faith that I talked about in the beginning. Without faith, what Jesus' hearers, whether it's the disciples, folks who are following, or the religious leaders who are evaluating what he has to say, how are you going to respond? Some of it you won't understand. Only Jesus can get away with saying, trust me, and you need to do that. The salvation he offers is by grace. It's a gift. The only saving response is faith, to believe that, which is what most refuse to do. The religious leaders of Jesus' day had a whole list of do's and don'ts, and that was their basis. And anything that smacked of anything less than or other than was unacceptable. And even today, most of us would like to think there's something we could do to deserve it, earn it. And Scripture says very clearly, that's not how God works. He wants to just give it to you, and he wants you to accept it by faith. So Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm teaching. And to those who want to listen and hear and know, they'll be able to. Those who have hardened their hearts and continue that in that attitude of hardness, there is no forgiveness. Remember, Jesus has already said, healthy people don't go to the doctor. People who think they're not sinners don't look for a savior. That was true in Israel. It was true in the first century as Jesus is explaining and presenting the kingdom of God to Israel, to his disciples, to others who were following. And it's true today. You can hear it often enough, refuse it over and over, until at some point you just don't hear it anymore. That's what Jesus was warning his disciples about. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. Describing, offering, that layer of faith. Trust me. Believe in me. And Jesus is going to spend 3 years teaching that to his disciples, and in one afternoon prove it to them. And 3 days later, prove to them not only what he had done, but who he is. Making the kingdom of God possible. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we've communicated it clearly, handled it accurately. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that you have done and continue to do in our hearts and our lives so that we can read, hear your word and incorporate it into our lives. Yes, we have to be involved in the process, but without your involvement, without the Holy Spirit, without your word, we would be lost. And so we thank you. And Father, then as we follow in the steps of Jesus, as we live our lives as faithfully and obediently as possible, as we share that word, knowing that a lot of it will produce nothing, but when it does, it will be amazing. And only you could get the credit for that. Father, help us to be looking for evidence of your work in and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.